I you know what? As I grew up, up to the age 20, I went to church a lot of times, different ways. My folks took me to church. They usually took me twice a year, whether I needed it or not, Christmas and Easter. They took me other times, too. Sometimes they took me, so I remember I went through confirmation class at age 12. I went to different churches, like through Boy Scouts, friends of mine. I'd go to different churches. And I've told y'all that by the time I was 20 years old, six different denominations had baptized me, and no one had told me how to know Jesus. And you know, as I've gone all over this country and preached all over this country and traveled, I've been in services where there was like, I remember I was in one church one time, there was like 800 people. And I was like, Lord, am I uncomfortable? Do I need to move around here? My wife's always like, I can't see him. I can't see him. And as I traveled around, I remember I was in a church with 800 people, and church was going on. And the seat was empty as far as everybody else could see, but I brought Jesus with me. Because I take him with me everywhere I go. Actually, I just try to find out where he's going, and I like to get in on it and just go with him, you know. Instead of trying to drag him places, you know. Sometimes he don't like going some of the places we take him. So, I was in church, and church was going on, and I was sitting out there in the congregation, and I leaned over to Jesus, and I said, Jesus, I bet if I hadn't come here today, I bet you wouldn't be here. And he leaned back to me and said, Harv, that's why I had you come. I wanted to visit. I don't care about doing church. I don't care about being religious. I don't care what it looks like. Years ago, do me a favor, stand up. You look so good. It looks like a sharp tack or something, man. This is how I dressed, except for I didn't look that good because I had this on top of my shoulders. I keep going to the barber, and I ask him every time, he says, how's it look? And I look in the mirror, and I go, you didn't do anything about the face, dude, you know? But this is how I would dress and wear my, you know, suit and wear my wingtip shoes. Had to be wingtip shoes, you know, so you'd be very religious, you know? You know what I'm talking about, brother? And I love this. He walked in today dressed like this, and I said, man, you look so sharp. I love this. But you know what? Thanks, brother. And I do know your name is George.
That's okay. Right. I just want you to know.
It's thanks. Bill, actually. But I think the Lord didn't want me going around trying to say everybody's name because I was going to forget somebody like Herman back there who's visiting, you know, Jim and Karen. You know, but God said to me, Harv, if I think it's over in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, if I'm not mistaken. It's close. And it says, the Lord looketh not on the outward appearance, amen, as man seeth, amen, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And some years ago, I think it was our last church that we had started, God, I kept praying, Lord, what do you want me to wear to church? And he kept saying, jeans. I'd say, okay. So the next Sunday, I'd say, so what do you want me to wear to church, Lord? And he'd say, jeans. And it was a real stretch for me because the Bible college I went to and stuff, they had all these things and you had to look sharp like a tack and the whole thing. And finally, there you go. Yeah, there you go. That's it. Jesus wore sandals and an old bed sheet. You know, that's right. Had a beard. I know. When they told me at the Bible college I went to, they said, you have to cut the hair off. Yeah, I had a mustache. I didn't have a beard at the time. They said, you have to cut the hair off your face. And being the little smart aleck that I was, I said, does that mean I have to shave my eyebrows? I cut my mustache off because they told me, but my wife always said I look like a little boy. I got a baby face. So as soon as I grew up and got out of Bible college, I grew some hair, so, you know, I look like a man, you know. And my thought to you is, well, one day God said to me, when I kept praying and asking Him, what do I wear? One day He said to me, Harvey, don't ask me more. Just wear jeans. He said, I want you to dress down. Because He said, I don't care about what everybody's wearing as much as I care what's on the inside. Do you understand that religion tries to change you from the outside in?
Right. Right.
Relationship with Jesus Christ changes you from the inside out.
Hallelujah.
2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a whole new creature, whole new creation. Old things are passed away. All old things are passed away. They don't just drop like that. Some of them do. When I got saved and got in church, I was afraid to open my mouth because I needed an interpreter when I spoke. I have never heard anybody cuss as bad as I used to cuss. And I was afraid to talk when I went into church. And within about 3 weeks, because I was afraid, I'm serious, I thought the roof would cave in. I thought they'd throw me out or something. It was bad. And I had already met Jesus 10 months and 3 days before I got in church. But 3 weeks after I got in church, God just miraculously broke off and took away, delivered me from cussing.
Amen.
And it was amazing. But you know what? There's a lot of things that I've had to walk out in my life. A lot of things. See, God is wanting... Why do you think God made us? Why do you think we're here? What do you think this whole thing is about? See how many toys we can get? You know? What do you think this is about? God created us to have fellowship with Him, that we may know Him. God wanting individuals to make a choice to want to be with Him. Okay? What we're wanting to talk about is relationship with God. Relationship with God. That's always what we want to talk about. Things that we do here, I don't even know. I don't even care. I just want God. And I don't really care what it looks like. You know? I'd rather that everybody wasn't wearing shorts when they came to church in a tank top. But if that's how somebody ends up coming, that's fine.
Amen.
What I care more about is what's in their heart. Because you know what? When Jesus is in their heart, He's kind of like yeast. When you put a little yeast in, it just keeps spreading.
Right.
When Jesus is kind of like the chicken pox. If you got Jesus, it's like getting a good dose of chicken pox. It's going to break out on you somewhere. There is no such thing as a Christian that can hide. Not a real Christian. Okay? Now you may be a Christian that I call people. There's a whole lot of people out there that call themselves Christians, and you can't find Christ in them with a magnifying glass. That's why I call them Christians. We need to be Christ-like believers. Where's Jesus in you? Where's Jesus in your relationships with your wife? Where's Jesus in your relationships with your boss? You know, the one that you can't stand? The one that gets on your nerves? Where's Jesus in your conversation? Where's Jesus in your choices? Where's Jesus? Just because you put a label on a can doesn't mean that's the contents. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? And just because a horn honks real loud don't mean there's gas in the tank. You understand? Today we're going to talk about something that's going to mess with you bad. I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Let me ask you a question. Matt, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a few questions, okay? God shared a thought with my wife and I, and I wish we had that big board that my wife was talking about we got this week somewhere. But you don't have to right now, but, well, go ahead. But I also need some markers, you know, and if they're magic markers, that won't work. So they need to be like those kind of erasable kind of type things. But I want to give you this thought that God shared with us. And I want to ask you personally to ask yourself this question. Would you ask yourself this question? I'm going to make a statement, but I want you to ask yourself, could you make this statement? I would rather see a truth that I hate and have to deal with it than be deceived by a lie that I like. I would rather see a truth that I hate and have to deal with it than be deceived by a lie that I like. Are you a truth seeker? Do you really want to know the truth? What if it doesn't agree with what you already think? Because if you come here thinking that we're going to say or do what fits into what you think, I promise you, it ain't going to happen. If you haven't already experienced it, I'm telling you, we're going to become even more undignified than this. I don't give a flip. I just want Jesus to get released. And I noticed that wherever Jesus went, it was either revival or riot. Everywhere the Apostle Paul went, it was revival or riot. And you know what I find happens wherever I go? That's it. God even told me He gave me a big nose so I'd stick it in other people's business. Okay? I am called to be a holy interrupter. I am going to interrupt your life if you hang around me. I promise you. I am going to leave preaching and start meddling. I'm going to get into your life. And it's not just me. I tell people, I witness to people every single day. And for about a year or so now, while I'm talking to people, I say to them, while I'm talking to you, and I don't even touch them. And I'll say, while I'm talking to you, it's inside, down in your belly, you know what I'm saying is true. And they go, yeah. They're not even church people. They don't even know about the little spirit man that lives inside of them. Okay, that the Bible talks. We have a spirit man that bears witness with the truth. Your head may be arguing, but deep down inside, you know what we're saying is true. You know God is here. Some of you may be scared to death and can't hardly wait till we let you go. And you're like, I'm not coming back here. And that's okay. We're going to love you anyway. And every time God brings you to my mind, I'm going to pray for you. Because I care about you. I care about you. I would rather see a truth that I hate and that I have to deal with than be deceived by a lie that I like. Questions, Lord. Do you only want to hear what you like or what you already believe or agree with? How about this? Am I willing to consider questions that make me uncomfortable? Am I willing to consider questions that make me uncomfortable? For years, I ask people questions, and I just watch them. They start dancing. They're like, things are crawling on them. They're rubbing themselves. They're trying to get away. I was talking to a man the other day, and as long as I was talking to him about tub glaze and my job, he's listening. And he had a helper. Well, his helper, because every now and then I kind of mentioned God. I don't know how, but somehow He got out of me, you know? And the helper finally said, you know, you've been talking about different religions or you've been talking about religious stuff. It's like, I wasn't talking about religious stuff. I was talking about Jesus. But anyway, so he started to bring up God. He wanted me to talk about God. The guy who owned the business, who had called me to this house, he just like, his eyes, he got like this, I could tell. He was getting ready to run. He's got that jackrabbit look, you know. You know. And I used him for an example, and I said, let me explain something to you. I said, like this guy caring about his customer, and he doesn't think he did the damage, but because the customer said that it wasn't ever there before, he was willing to come and make it right, even if it cost him $100 out of his own pocket. I said, that is being God conscious. That is being others minded. And the guy stood there long enough for me to say that. And as soon as I quit talking about him. He turned around, ran to his van, started up, and started backing out, even though the other guy was standing there trying to talk to me about God. He said, I guess I gotta go. Handed him my card and I said, if you want to talk later, give me a call. People get nervous. What I'm going to say is we get nervous. There's things that people meddle with. Are you willing? Do you like your life where it is? Is everything okay with you and God? How about, do you think there's more to life than what you're experiencing? Well, what if God wanted to ask you some questions? What if God put somebody in front of you like me? Forgive me that he didn't use somebody better, but just pretend he used somebody like me to ask you some questions that made you uncomfortable. Would you be willing to consider them? Am I really willing to think about questions that are hard for me to be honest in answering? Will I truly be honest with myself? Because if you aren't honest with yourself, you're lying to yourself. Let me ask you a question. How are we going to show people Jesus? Because when I look in America, I don't see Jesus getting exposed too much. I see a whole lot of religion, but I don't see much of Jesus. What people talk about is Jesus, I can't find in my Bible. One of the questions I ask people sometimes is, when I talk to them about where they're going to spend eternity, is I say, what if you died today? And God, you stood before God, and He handed you a Bible and said, Rick, you think you're going to a Bible heaven. Do you have a Bible reason for going there? What if God handed you a Bible and said, show me in the Bible why I should let you into heaven? What would you answer? How are we going to be able to help others if we don't know that answer for ourselves? I'm asking you a question today that may mess with you, but as soon as I ask the question, I'm going to tell you a little story about somebody. The question is, would you be willing to consider, this changed somebody's life asking them this question, would you be willing to consider that you might not be saved, that you might not be on your way to heaven? Well, Harvey, I go to church. Well, let's see, does that make you a Christian? Because if so, when you go in your garage, maybe you become a car. Well, Harvey, I'm an American. Praise the Lord. Well, Harvey, I got baptized. I baptized my car, my truck, like 2 weeks ago in a car wash. That didn't make it saved. Okay? I mean, it was completely submerged, covered over, plunged. Okay? Biblical definition for the word baptized. It was under water. Totally. Didn't get saved. Didn't have anything to do with salvation anyway. Did you know that no one could get saved until they realize that they're truly lost and on their way to hell? Harvey, pastor or whatever you want to call me, because I don't care again. Just when it's time for dinner, don't be late in calling me. But it goes like this. This is Sunday morning. Shouldn't you be a little nicer? We got visitors and stuff. Can I tell you, we're not ever going to have seeker-friendly services. What we're going to have is we're going to have God-friendly services. I care that God shows up. I am all focused on Jesus being exalted and Jesus being released and Jesus being blessed with what's going on. I want to lift Him up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. I am not here to try to tickle your ears or make you feel good. If that's what you want, there's all kinds of little meetings going on all over the place and you can go there. In our last church, people used to say, Pastor, I really like church, but at the last church they used to do this or that, and I would say to them, and I bet they're still doing that. And if that's what you want, go on back. I said, but that's not what God's doing here. And I don't want to interrupt what He's doing. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21 and 23. 21 through 23. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, Jesus? And in thy name, Jesus, we have cast out devils. And in thy name, Jesus, we've done many wonderful works. Jesus is talking and he says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I'm going to preach on that, but I want to ask you, I want to just tell you a little story. I went into a lady's house some years ago, maybe 10 years ago, and this lady was a Catholic in this town, somewhere around here, Kentwood, and lived over near, I think maybe still does, 60th and Kalamazoo area. And she was the head over a children's ministry in a huge Catholic church. Okay? There aren't many little ones. She was over the children's ministry. And so I went in and I'm doing work there. I'm going to glaze her tub and make it. It was seafoam green. It was so beautiful. That's like the prettiest color, seafoam green. I don't know if you know what that is, but it looks like seafoam green. And it's real pretty. And it looks something like, I don't know if it's like this, somewhere in there, somewhere. But not like that. It's more muted. Anyway, it's beautiful. And when I was all done, it was seafoam green. It was pretty. But while I was doing it, we got to talking about Jesus. I don't know why that happens everywhere I go. I really don't. I go in, I come home and I tell my wife, I have no idea how, but God got loose again. You know? And he poked a hole in my balloon and he didn't put no valve on that thing and he just got loose all over the place. And I said, we were talking to this lady about Jesus and I asked her questions. And I said, so if you died, where would you go? Oh, I'd go to heaven. Great. So if you stood before God and he said to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? Oh, and she starts saying words and they sounded like words that I would say. In my head, they sounded right. But in my spirit, the Holy Spirit kept saying to me, she's not saved. Now, I would kept going, God, am I judging her? Is it just because she's Catholic or something or whatever? And God said, no, that's me telling you. But I had to ask him a number of times because I just want to make sure. I always want to check myself out first. Have you ever noticed when you point at somebody? Do me a favor. Just point. Point at me. Now, look at your hand. You got three fingers pointing at you and one pointing at everybody else. If we take three times to look at ourselves and fix ourselves up, before we start pointing at everybody else, oh my word, husbands, wives, oh my word, oh my word. As a matter of fact, you'll find that right in the beginning of Matthew chapter 7, the very chapter we're on, verses 1 through 4. He said, why beholdest thou the toothpick that's in your brother's eye when you got a telephone pole on your own? It says, pull out the telephone pole. So you can see clearly, and then you can help him get that little toothpick out of his eye. God made it clear that we got the telephone pole and they got the toothpick. Because we need to be taking three times more of a look at ourselves than others. And I hope and pray the Holy Ghost gets all over you like white on rice and turns you every way but loose on that and never lets you forget that. Because when we start pointing at others, do others have faults? Yes. What do we need to do? What did Jesus do? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's a Christian. So I'm in this lady's house, and I'm talking to her, and I keep asking her questions. And I mean, I ask her questions for 2 hours. And this lady could quote Scripture, the same Scriptures I would use, same answers I would use. And it was blowing my mind because she was saying all the right words, but in my spirit, the Holy Spirit kept saying, she doesn't know me. And I kept leaving and going upstairs to work on the little seafoam green tub. And I would pray because, you know, that's what you have to do when you work on a tub. You have to get on your knees, see? So all my work is always done on my knees, see? Whether I'm in church or whether I'm out on the job. See, I'm on my knees. Good place to start your day and end your day and live your day. And so I was on my knees. I'm like, Lord, is this me? He's like, no. But Lord, maybe it's because, he goes, no. He says, can't you hear her? She's saying all the words you're saying that you would say. Same answers. It sounds like she's gone to the same classes or whatever. She knows what you know. I'm going, but Lord, I don't know. I finally got to the place where I said, Lord, I don't know what else. I went to the other room to ask him. And I said, Father. She always liked to get on his lap. I said, Father. I said, I don't know what else to say. And the Father said, phew, I was waiting till you'd get done, Harv. What do you mean, Dad? He says, ask her this question. I never thought of that question before. Yeah, I know, Harv. Go ask her this question. So you know what the question was I asked her? I said, when did you see yourself deserving to go to hell? Is that a neat thing to say to a customer? Somebody who hasn't even paid you yet? You're at their house? So, ma'am, Miss Customer, when did you see yourself deserving to go to hell? Oh, she was like, thanks for asking me. You're like, what do you think? You know? She just looked at me like an RCA dog, you know? Huh? 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 I said, when did you see yourself deserving to go to hell? She goes, oh, I've never deserved to go to hell. I've always deserved to go to heaven. Ding, 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 ding. Even I got it then. I said, oh, I understand. You believe in Jesus as God. You believe in Jesus as the Son of God. You believe in Jesus as your friend. You believe in Jesus as the one you could pray to. You believe in Jesus as the one who loves you. But you don't believe in Jesus as your Savior because you've never been lost. And then the Holy Spirit said, now, Harvey, don't say a word or you'll interrupt what I'm doing. So I shut my mouth. I went upstairs. I finished the tub. I came downstairs. I wanted to add to it, but he said, don't. And I remember that verse over in Revelation chapter 22. He said, because they took away from my words, I'll take away their part out of the book, book of life. And because they added unto them, I'll add unto the plagues. And I'm like, I don't think I'll add a word here. So I left. That's not what they taught me in Bible college. You're supposed to draw the net. You're supposed to get them to pray a prayer. Do you know that a prayer did not die for you on the cross? Do you know that a prayer, ho, 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 do you know that a prayer did not die for you on the cross? What? Learning to lean. Okay. Did you know that it's not our prayer that saves us? I've asked people all over this country as I've traveled around because God had me do it. So tell me about when you met Jesus. Well, I prayed the prayer. Excuse me? Chapter and verse, please. What prayer? The sinner's prayer. You know. Where is that in the Bible? Now, if you're trying to go to a religious heaven, do whatever they tell you. But if you're going to do what the Bible says, then let's find our answer in the Bible. Do you understand what saves you? It's not your prayer, not your potential of what you can do, not your power, your ability, and not your promises. I'm in a foxhole, and if you just get me out, I'll do whatever and give you my life. And then they live like the devil after that because they're trying to do it. If we could save ourselves, then Jesus Christ was a fool for dying on the cross. Do you think he was a fool?
No.
Well, that's your choice. You either think he's telling the truth or he's a liar. And there is no middle ground. What did the preacher preach on today? Well, I can tell you, it was clear. When you leave here today, you don't have to wonder which side of the fence I'm on. It's going to get clear. Jesus died for me because it was the only thing that would pay for my sin. Jesus on the cross, God Himself laying His life down and saying, I am going to become your substitute, Harvey, and I'm going to take what you deserve because you can't make it without me. And it's not you plus me because I'm not a handicap. I don't need your help, Jesus said. The name Jesus, the word Jesus, like my name Harvey, it means army warrior. You hang around me a little bit, you'll find out my name fits. Okay? Charge hell with a squirt gun. Give me the boldness of a junkyard dog. If you fear God, you don't have to fear man. I'm not afraid of anybody. It's like I fear God. And He's delivered me from the baloney of the brethren. I don't even worry about what y'all think.
Amen.
I didn't come here because y'all voted me in, and you couldn't vote me out if you tried. Y'all want to take over? You can have this place because I take God with me.
Amen.
Do you understand? Mama called and Papa sent. Those kind of preachers need to get out. The ones that are called of God, the ones that can't do anything else, the ones that are consumed with Jesus, they need to get in and they need to surrender and they need to put their life in God's hands and just say, I can't do it, but you can and you do all things well. Come, have your way. He that exalteth himself should be abased, and he that humbleth himself should be exalted.
Hallelujah.
Everything is like a paradigm shift. It's like all cattywampus in the Bible. It's all, what's the word of, when he says something and it's the other, I mean, you know, we think something, but God does it the opposite way. That's what people think, but. Paradox, that's the word I'm looking for. I should have known that Tom the Word Man would have had that. It's a paradox, Brother Harv. Thanks, Brother Tom. It's a paradox. Things are opposite of the way we understand them or perceive them. That's why in Isaiah 55, verse 8, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So I go upstairs, I finish spraying this seafoam green tub. I come downstairs. I look at her. She still looks like an RCA dog. I said, God bless you. And I left. A year later, she dropped something in her tub and shipped it. So she called me to come fix it. So I go back and I said, Lord, is this that lady? Yep. I said, well, Lord, you do whatever you want. I walk in the house. I go upstairs. I fix the tub. And I'm praying the whole time. I'm on my knees, remember? I'm praying the whole time. And I come downstairs. And God bless you on purpose. You know, if that's all you need to get a blessing, you ought to sneeze more often. Okay. I said to her, I said, ma'am, she looked different. I said, ma'am. And I don't mean because she had makeup on or did her hair or some other color. I'm talking about she looked different. It was like a glow or something about her. And I said to her, I said, ma'am, do you remember our conversation? She goes, do I? She says, when you said that to me, she said, for four months, I could not quit thinking about that. I love to do that. I love to do that. And that's what I hope God does with you today. Things that are said, and next week, and every time you come, I just pray God interrupts your life with truth. Interrupts your life with His presence. Interrupts your life and just messes with you to bring you unto Him. Because that's what you really want. You really want Him. You do. Even when you don't know you do, you do. I just want to be loved and accepted. I'm sorry, God is love. And you won't get it outside of God. Because that little thing on the bumper sticker says, I heart my chihuahua. That ain't love. That's a little red heart. But you want love? That's God. Real love. I mean, unless you think He's a liar, 2 times, 1 John 4. God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Okay? It's a song. I want to teach all these things. I go around singing this stuff all the time. You get these things inside of you. And it's like, it just like, such Jesus said, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free.
Right.
Ooh, I just like getting free. Man, I hate it when I get bound up. I love getting set free. Some of y'all just freak out over it, but that's okay. You like getting set free. She says, do I? For 4 months I couldn't quit thinking about what you said to me. And she said, after 4 months I realized I deserve to go to hell. She said, it took me 2 more months to come to a place of accepting Jesus as my Savior. She says, now I'm born again and I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Folks, I had people tell me a number of times that I was on my way to heaven. And I would have split hell wide open as a wet sinner. I was baptized so much. You know, when you're dealing with somebody, and if you do, sometimes God still, as a rule, I don't lead people in a prayer anymore. The Bible College taught me to, and then God said, he really messed with me one day and said, Harv, try leading them to the Lord without leading them in prayer. How? How do I do that? I don't understand. God always messes with me. He always messes with me. I told you he's a troublemaker. When you get to know him, you're going to find out. He'll mess with you. And it's to help you. To help you. Because, remember, He's eternally right. That means we're eternally wrong. Except only in those places where we're in agreement with Him. And just as a hint and a clue, we're not in agreement with Him as much as we think we are. We're mostly messed up. We've taken in this smorgasbord of different beliefs that have been presented to us and think it's true. But they preached it out of the Bible. Just because they preached it out of the Bible doesn't mean it was true. Do you know I could teach atheism out of the Bible? Did you know that? If you don't believe me, turn over to, I think it's Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, okay? Let's see if it is. Psalm 53. Is that where it is, Lord? Yes! Verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But let's just leave that part out. There is no God. That's what it says. There is no God. Of course, it says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And there's a lot of people that take parts of the Bible out. They have a little holy Bible. See, it looks like Swiss cheese. Because they just pull out what they want to say, this is what I believe. When I started going around the country and challenging preachers, I said, so what saves you? When I was in the Bible College, God had me do this one day in a room full of all these ministers. You know, we're all Bible College students or whatever we're called. And I said, so what saves you? The calling or the believing? Oh, my word. They just started going on about how you have to call and you got to pray. And I said, well, what if somebody is mute? And they had some excuse for that, you know. Well, they could sign it. I said, well, how is that calling? You know, and I would ask them, but they were just like, rah, rah, pack of wolves, rah, 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 rah. Well, if you were to look in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, which most preachers used when I would ask them this, they would say, well, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, but have you ever heard of context? It's the verses that surround and the whole idea of what God is trying to get across to us. And they go, yeah. I said, well, look at verse 14. It says, "How the very next verse. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? I said, so what comes first, the believing or the calling? Because if they call and they don't believe, like there's one church that my wife and I have gone to or met up with these kind of people. I forgot what they're called, but I don't really want to say their name anyway. But they believe, they say, it doesn't matter what you believe. All you got to do is just get baptized in the name of Jesus and you'll be saved. You know, then the believing will come later. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Jesus only. I don't know what their name is. I can't remember. I don't want to know. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. I'm not trying to pick on somebody. I'm trying to make a point. And the point is, what are we basing our beliefs on? What are we? Are you basing them on what I say? Or are you basing them on what he says? Are you basing them on what the TV preacher says because he's got some big national ministry? Or are you basing it on what God says? And then when they preach it, do you go, oh, that's good, that's wonderful, and take a bunch of notes and, oh, that's good, and you want to tell everybody about them? Or do you, after they preach, you were like in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Did you go and take those verses they said and read them and go and read the whole chapter and see if that bears witness and ask God to be your teacher? 1 John 2:27, John 16:13. The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. You need not that any man teach you. He'll teach you if you'll get into His Word and you'll seek Him. Amen. And not be a piggyback Christian. I'm riding my preacher. Yep, he's telling me everything to believe. Yep, I'm a Harveyite. I don't want to be a piggybacker. I begged God for years. Listen, I went to 9 years of Bible college. I endured to the end. I must be saved, okay? I mean, I went through everything. We've started all these churches, preached all over the place. God put us in different churches, all different kinds. Oh, my word, thank you, Jesus. And I have begged God, please give me a mentor that would teach me, like God would be expanding my tent. God would be stretching me. God would be coloring outside my lines and saying, I want to bring you into not just knowing the Holy Spirit. I want to bring you into Spirit-filled living. And I'm going, oh, Lord, charismatics. And I don't, they don't even, they're all so experience-based and not Bible-based. And then there's the Pentecostals and they're off over here. And because I've been involved with all these people and I'm going, Lord, but I'll do whatever. If you want me to go be Pentecostal or go be charismatic or whatever, I don't care, Lord. I'll learn whatever. Just put me wherever. And God would say, no, you can't have a mentor. You cannot have a person, a pastor, a teacher that's going to train you. I said, why? He said, because there's nobody out there that's going to teach you what I want you to learn. He says, because what I'm going to do with you is unique. It's going to be different. And he says, and there's nobody out there that's going to release you to do what I want to do because they don't understand it. Because they got this whole old wineskin mindset. And he said, I'm calling you to be an apostle. What's an apostle, Lord? My name's not Peter or John or Mark or James or Nathaniel or Bartholomew or Judas. There was two Judases, by the way. I'm not... who. What's an apostle? He said, you know what it is, Harv? He said, somebody's going to do a whole different new thing. Go a whole new direction. Something I've called them to do. It's not going to fit with everybody else. I don't know why I'm telling you all this, but I'm trying to help you understand something. God's trying to help you understand something. You ready? I want you to consider the question. Would you be willing to consider, I might not be saved. I'm willing to examine that because my eternity is based on this. My real relationship is based on this. My hearing God is based on this. I'm willing to consider, am I really saved or did I just pray a prayer? Am I really saved or am I trusting in what I do or what I did? Am I really born again? Are you willing to consider that? Because if you get that and you start considering that, guess what's going to end up happening? You're going to end up going deeper into this and getting a better understanding so that when I ask you to tell me about when you met Jesus. You don't start talking about all your Christian experiences and all the service you've done. You tell me about Jesus and repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus. That's what I keep looking for. But most Christians that I ask, Even when the Holy Spirit tells me, Harvey, they're saved, they can't even give a clear explanation, a clear testimony of their salvation. And no wonder we got America in such a mess. People are going around telling them all you got to do is hang on. Other ones saying, let go, you know, and believe, press in. Others saying, lay down, soak in the river. I mean, they don't even know what they got to do. Get baptized, join a church, come join our little glee club, keep our little list of rules, do this, don't do that. Oh, I believe in Jesus. How did it change your life?
There you go.
I believe in Jesus. What do you believe? People tell me all the time, I believe in Jesus. And I ask them, what do you believe? And they start talking, and it ain't in this Bible. What they believe ain't in here. But they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in, they believe in another Jesus. Because they don't believe in the Bible Jesus. They believe in a religious Jesus. That just lets them live any way they want. Do anything. It doesn't change their heart. There's no peace. There's no joy. There's no eternal life. And somebody has made them twofold more a child of hell. And it's harder. The hardest people to get saved are religious people. The hardest people to help them come to Jesus are those that are trusting in something that they're doing or something they've done. Well, I've done this. And people tell me all the time, crying, I just did this. That's just, oh, and I'm just so, you know, I just get warm, fuzzy feelings toward God. I said, you're going to get some warm, fuzzy feelings, but it ain't going to be in heaven. Maybe they're going to be a lot warmer than warm. So I'm asking you a question. Would you consider that you might not be saved? Would you consider that you might not know Jesus? The only reason you wouldn't consider is because of pride. And the worship leader of heaven, whose name was Lucifer, who you know as Satan or the devil, got thrown out of heaven because of pride. Pride destroys. Pride will send you to hell. Would you consider? And if you're afraid to consider, then what is it you think you have if you're afraid to consider the truth? What is it you have? My wife, we're laying in bed the other night. I thought I was going to sleep. I was planning on going to sleep. Oh, no. She's a little boogerhead. She starts saying these words and starts talking about people getting saved, talking about evangelism, talking about wanting to reach out and see America come to know Jesus. Do you think America is a Christian nation? Do you? Because if you are, I could sell you anything. Okay? So my wife, after she just like primes my pump, because I'm an evangelist, I get up out of bed. She goes, where are you going? I said, I have stuff I have to write down. So she, her little boogerhead self, gets to go to sleep. But me, I get to go stay up till 2 in the morning writing all this stuff down. Joy told us a story. Where's Joy? She's back there. Bless her heart. Lord, bless her, because who can deal with that? Thank you, Jesus. She must be called. Thank you, Jesus. You can't be cold. You have to be called to go back there. Joy told us a story of a man recently that she was dealing with, she was counseling with at another church. And God showed her, this man is not saved. So while she was counseling with this man, because the pastor was there, while she's counseling with this man, not this man, I'm just pointing at him. He's a man. Okay? I hope that's the kind that come here. Men and women. This man, she says, brother, you need to consider that you might not be saved. Friend, you need to consider. You can't call them a brother. They're not in your family yet. Friend, you need to consider. Are you really saved? She said, because God showed me you're not. The preacher. Wouldn't you think the preacher would want somebody to get saved? Oh, I know you're saved. I prayed the prayer with you. You've been in my church all this time. Don't you worry about it. You're saved. But because the man had a heart that the Bible said was good ground and would receive seeds of truth inside of him, his wife, who was willing to say something that wasn't going to be popular, that man went home and thought about what Joy said. It didn't matter what the preacher said. He went home and thought about what Joy said. God searched his heart. The man that night repented toward God, put his faith in the Lord Jesus, said, God, I realize I'm not saved. I'm on my way to hell. I've never trusted in you. I've never... I see it. I'm not saved. He got saved that night, and the next day he called Joy and said, Joy, you were right. And last night God got a hold of me, and now I'm saved. I trusted in Christ. Amen. Now listen to this. 3 weeks later, the man went into eternity. Now, can I ask you a question? What if you thought you were saved? And you didn't really want to consider me messing with you. You didn't really want me to interrupt your life because you're comfortable right where you're at. And you leave here and you get in a car accident, you go out into eternity. And the rest of eternity, you're saying, I wished I would have listened. I wish I would have considered. Do you think it's fun for me to stand here and say this? You know, this isn't getting me brownie points with y'all. Y'all aren't like, oh, he's such a wonderful guy. He just preaches love all the time. It makes me feel good. My goal is not to make you feel good. You will get that clue as you come here. My goal is not to make you feel good. My goal is to get you to Jesus. Do you know what I do all the time, everywhere I go? What do, Glenn? Everywhere I go, I put out my hand to people. People start talking to me, telling me about their life, and I put out my hand. And when they put their hand in mine, they're a goner. I'm taking them to Jesus. If they put their hand in mine, they're going to Jesus. They don't even stand a chance. So I put my hand out on people all the time. I'm in there to get Burger King, right? Because it's the best one. And so the guy puts his hand out. So I put my hand out. He looks at me and he puts his hand in mine. And I just start praying for him. Because I want to get people to Jesus. Will you let me help you get closer to Jesus? Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Instead of me going on this whole day, because see, I could just get started. This could have been a whole front porch, and I could build this whole apartment complex behind it, believe me. Okay? You know I never quit preaching when I want to. I always have to quit preaching because I know if y'all get dead on one end, you're going to get dead on the other. Y'all can't handle as long as I can preach, okay? You just can't. No one can. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone. Jesus is talking. Not everyone. Not everyone. Not everyone. Not everyone. Give me a hand. Not everyone. Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is God's will? Well, let's look at what the people were doing just in that little verse. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, we had a big TV ministry. Lord, we prophesied in thy name. We got your mind and spoke into people. You need to be careful who lays hands on you.
Amen.
Can I let you know something? What is in people, the way the Bible teaches it in Proverbs is, you become what you associate with.
Right.
Have you ever noticed that birds of a feather flock together? Have you ever noticed that the things that you hate in your life, the people that you hang around do? I'm talking about like cussing, and you find yourself cussing or thinking cuss words. That's because look who you're hanging out with. You got a drinking problem? Look who you're hanging out with. Hey, listen, I quit drinking when they invented the funnel. I've been down the road, okay? I'm not casting a stone at you. I'm telling you, I've been down the road. If you could do it wrong, I've done it. I'm talking to you about Jesus. His name, my name, Harvey, means army warrior. Jesus' name means Savior, Deliverer, one who sets another free.
Do you believe in those ones that do miracles?
Oh, yeah.
The ones that put in they,
I believe in Jesus who does the miracles.
We believe in the presence of somebody.
Like Benny Hinn, what do you think about him?
Well, we could go into that, but not right now, okay? But I will tell you this. I have laid hands on people and seen people, all kinds of miracles happen. I've seen people cured of, like, cancer, seen people cured of arthritis, seen people cured. I've watched legs grow out, I've watched arms grow out, I've watched all kinds of things with me laying on hands. I had a little girl go into a house. I'll just tell you this, this is a little side note, okay? And then we're going to shoot that rabbit. I'm going to stuff him with a hand grenade, okay? Went into a house. I'm working at another company. I go into this house. This lady didn't have time for me to do my presentation, but she had a whole hour to tell me about how bad her life is and all the aches and pains she's got in her life. And I asked the Lord, what was I supposed to do? Because I wanted to run because I didn't want to hear this. I'm just telling you the truth in the flesh. I did not want to hear somebody moan, groan, gripe, and complain and tell me about how they'd gone to the doctor 52 times a year before, at least once every week, and tell me about every pain from her head to her toe as her husband sat there. And I'm going, I don't want to hear this, Lord. And he's like, I have you here for a reason. Okay, Lord, I laid my life down. What do you want? He said, I want you to listen because I'm going to do something. And I said, okay. So then I said, you're going to have to fill me because my love, it just ain't here. So I need you to come fill me up with your love. And he said, okay, Harv, that's what I need to do anyway. He said, your love is always shallow compared to mine. So why don't you come get a fill up? I said, I like that, Lord. So I said, fine. So the lady just tells me her story for an hour, okay? And she's talking and telling me all these aches and pains. And I'm listening real intently because I'm just wondering, I'm thinking God's going to heal her or something, I'm wondering. Get all the way to the end. I laid hands on her and I said, well, let's pray about it. I said, let me pray for you. She goes, okay. So I start praying for her. She didn't get healed. And she and her husband, then her husband was like he had his puppy dog look, you know, like Janaya when we say we got the prayer ministry up front. I want prayer. I want prayer. I want prayer. And that's what this man, he had his little puppy dog look like. Won't you pray for me? And I said, would you like me to pray for you? So, I mean, here's these like 60-year-old people or whatever, you know, he's acting like a little boy. And so I said, well, let me pray for you. So I prayed for him. And she said, I've got a granddaughter here. Would you pray for her? And I said, sure. While the granddaughter's like 5 years old, okay? She doesn't know how to be fake yet. You know, she's not an adult yet, okay? Okay, did y'all catch that? Anyway, wasn't that neat how I just slid that in? But anyway, while she's coming, the grandmother says to me, she has asthma. I said, she said she has to be on a machine all the time because she has asthma so bad. So she came. I had a chair. I was sitting in a chair. I said, here, come get on my lap. She climbs up on my lap. I said, do you believe in God? She goes, yeah. I said, do you know who Jesus is? She goes, no. I said, it's okay. Don't worry about it right now. I said, what would you like to do, Father? And he said, just pray for her because I want to heal her of her asthma. And I said, did you know that you don't even know God, but he loves you so much he wants to heal you of your asthma day? She goes, I don't even know what she said. She probably just hugged me or something. You know, she's a little blonde-headed little girl, and she just hugged me. So I just was hugging her, and I just prayed for her. I was done. I said to the folks, I said, well, I'm sorry that we couldn't, because I just count it done. God told me it's done. See, faith is believing what God said and moving on it.
Amen.
If you got to see it, it ain't faith.
Right.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you know what that means in the Greek? It means you can't see it. That's what it means. Okay? It's invisible. Okay? So I said, folks, I'm sorry I didn't have time. Y'all didn't have time. Of course, I've been there about an hour and a half, 2 hours now. But they didn't have an hour for me to do my business presentation. They said, well, how about next week? And I said, okay. And we figured a time, and I came back. I'm walking up to the house. This little girl, 5 years old, is looking out the window because I'm coming. She runs out, jumps in my arms and says, I don't have to use that breathing machine anymore. She didn't even know how to fake it. You know? Do you understand? She couldn't give me a courtesy fall. Do you understand? You see? It's all about Jesus. Do you understand? And we need to find out what he's up to instead of us going around trying to heal everybody. What the Bible says in command and all this stuff. Why don't we just stand there? That's, if you'll notice, that's what we do. We like lay hands on people and then we just like try to focus on the face and the heart of Jesus. What are you doing, Father? What are you doing? Does God want to heal people? Yeah, he wants to heal people. But guess what? Now may not be their time and timing. Everyone knows that. God has perfect timing. I don't remember how that song goes, but it's like everyone knows that Lord has perfect timing, you know. Timing is important. I'm not going to keep going. I'm just going to give you these, finish this passage here. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? These are not unchurched people. These aren't sitting in the pew spectators. These are active ministers. Do you know? I've preached all over America, and one of our tours around America, God said to me, Harvey, start asking these people why they think they're going to heaven. But Lord, these are the ministers. These are the leaders. These are in fundamental, da, 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 da. And he said, Harvey, start asking them. I started asking. The answers I got weren't in the Bible. I've always been a Baptist. I've got a 20-year pen. My dad's a preacher. I'm a deacon. I prayed the prayer. I've always been in church. So where's Jesus on the cross? Where's Jesus' blood in your life? Let me ask you a question. This guy, by what he was saying, these people, they seem to give me the idea that they believe that the reward for them doing all these things is them getting to go to heaven. Is that the idea you get? They think, I did all these things. I should get to go to heaven. Then my question to leave with you is, then why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did Jesus die on the cross? Like if I was to ask you, Tom, why did Jesus die on the cross? What does that have to do with you? Don't answer. Me. I hope you answer that question to yourself. Why did Jesus die on the cross concerning you, Mary? Mary, concerning you. What? Why did Jesus, does Him dying on the cross have anything to do with you? Wayne? Linda? I'm asking you. I am not done. But God says, stop. Would you consider? Because one thing it's going to do if you do, it's going to drive you deeper into God.
Amen.
And that's my goal, is to drive you deeper into God. And when God did all this in me and started working all this inside of me, it's got me to go deeper and deeper. I didn't get it from somebody else. As I've gone out door to door and tell people, they'll say, oh, I'd meet people and they'd say, oh, you do evangelism explosion. I'm like, what's that? Well, you do a lot of stuff they do. I said, well, maybe we got it from the same author. You know? Maybe the same one wrote the same program. You know, the different programs. You know? I said, I never heard of it. I only know Jesus. And I only know how to get a hold of Him and find out what He's up to. There is like a million sermons I could preach on this. I'm not sure if I could preach a million. Maybe it'd be about 900,000 or something like that.
Well, you know one thing I wonder why did it take them so long in Mississippi to get there?
That's a good question.
Why do they not get there?
Jesus, we sure would like you to intervene. And all the people that have good intentions, and all the people that are asking this question, that you would move on them and that folks would not just sit back talking, but folks would ask you, what can I do?
Yeah.
And Lord, that they would get involved and do what you want. And you would send the people you want and you would supply the needs and that you would minister to these people that have been devastated and draw them under your breast, Father, and draw them into a place of knowing you, and that it would be a wake-up call to America, that it wouldn't have to go further in this, because otherwise I could see this happening all over America. And Lord, I know that's what's going to happen, but I don't want it to happen. I want you to bring us to repentance. Bring us to the end of ourselves and the foot of the cross. Whatever it takes, bring America to the end of ourselves and the foot of the cross. Thank you for the care and the love in this brother, that he cares about people. Thank you for a heart of compassion. And I'm asking that, Lord, you would show him what you would have him to do. And if it's prayer, if it's sending money, if it's going himself, that he would just lay his life down and say, not my will but thine. And he'd say, no greater love hath this than any man that he lay down his life for his friends. And even for those who don't know him, and that he would reach out. But Lord, may each one of us just be attentive and open to what you would have in our lives. And today, may you just take the words that have been spoken and may you deal in our hearts. And may you help us to search us, O God. I love that verse. Search me, O God. That word search means to look frantically for, to look as if your life depended on it. Well, I'm asking that you would search us and help us to allow you to search us, to welcome you searching our hearts. Am I really saved? Do I really know Jesus, or do I just know about Him? May you do that work inside of us. And Lord, maybe everybody in this room is saved and you're just wanting to draw us into a deeper place where we're more able to clearly tell others a true testimony of what happened in us. But maybe as we look and we try to figure it out, we can't pinpoint it. Well, Lord, when I ask everyone in this room how old they are, they could tell me their age because they were born physically at a certain time. Well, how about when they were born spiritually into the family of God? How about when their life changed? How about when they became a new creation, a whole new creation? How about when they became alive to you and they met you personally? And Lord, the whole reason Gareth is here today is because he was willing to consider that question. And Lord, I would ask, Father, because I believe that there are people that in this room, that if they don't ask that question, if they're not willing to ask that question, a year from now, they won't be here. Not because they're in another church, but they may not even be on this earth. Father, I'm asking, may you do the work inside of each one of us. May we open up and allow you to search us Search our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts and our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us. Any way that's outside of Your way. Because any way outside of Your way is wicked. And then lead us into the way everlasting. Lead us into Your heart. Your perfect will. Your perfect way. Your thoughts. Your life. It's You we need. I just want to ask you.